So let's read a few, because that's, of course, the pain of the world, the pain of conflict, the pain of different perspectives of life, and it's very painful to be in that field. But if you are rooted in Allah, then one is able to tolerate and bear everything and see everything coming from Allah. So I read something beautiful. I just opened a book of Ghazali just before coming, Imam Ghazali, and he was telling how the Prophet, you know, as we know, he had a servant called Anas, right? Anas. And he never, it's known that he never criticized this one for anything. And of course, because we're human, and I'm sure Anas did things that were, maybe the Prophet asked him to do this and he forgot or he didn't do it in the right way. He said the Prophet never once criticized him. So, you know, we might not think of it, but the way we make, give that the weight that it merits is to think of our own life, either if we have someone working with us or under us or doing something, we know how hard we can be sometimes just out of temper or things like that. So apparently Anas asked the Prophet, and this is the part I did not know, why have you never criticized me for all these years that I've been with you and made mistakes? And the Prophet said that everything is determined by Allah, and so there is nothing to criticize. MashaAllah. So what a lesson that is. So immediately I thought of our own situation in the world with all this political, you know, turmoil and so much criticism one way and the other. And so let's just see it all as Allah's drama and just bring the good. That's all we can do anyway. We don't want to bring the bad. We don't want to add fuel to the fire by, you know, in turn throwing invectives or getting upset. I mean, I do, but it's good that this is why we have a community, so we can support each other in the good. And because being alone in all this would be impossible, devastating, and that's why people are devastated by just events happening in the world. But we support each other for the good. And so the good is to know that all comes from Allah, that all is teaching and guidance and mercy, and is guiding people, helping to guide people. So all we have to do is really pray for the good, that good will come from us, and pray for people. As it says, in the Quran it says, pray for the one who is an enemy to you, and he may become your friend. You know, how remarkable. Do we ever think of praying? I mean, maybe some of us do. But it's good to be reminded. And we, you know, that there is no real enemy. And interesting thing is that the enemy, so, you know, what we think of as the enemy is actually the revealer. And so it says every prophet has an enemy, like an outstanding enemy. But that enemy actually turns out to be the one who will bring out the greatest qualities of their, what they see as their opponent, you know. So it's quite amazing. And if we look, you know, we don't have the intelligence, the insight, the knowledge, the grasp of everything that goes on to be able to understand these things. This is why it is important to place faith, you know, simply place the faith and say, well, okay, I can't see, I can't understand everything, but I trust, because this is what, you know, the guide says. And the guide in this sense, being a prophet or a fendi or a noor, or who drink from his fountain, and inshallah, alhamdulillah. So, how amazing. Yeah. No, what she said first. What?
So, how can you take that teaching and apply it practically to the things that are going on in terms of the, you know, the racial killings?
Right, of course. So, peaceful demonstrations, peaceful talkings, you know. But again, let's take Ali, you know, Imam Ali, who in one of the battles was fighting someone who was a terrible enemy, opponent of, you know, of this new community and the new revelations coming. And but then when the person spat in his face, Ali dropped his sword, you know, because he became angry. Mm-hmm. And he did not want to strike him out of his own personal anger. So he recognizes, very interesting, that it would no longer be guidance to harm that person because of his own anger. So I think that's a good guidance. So if we have anger in ourselves, that kind of, you know, righteous anger or anything, then we have to look at that. And we try to bring about the good through good, through more good. And so, therefore, often people who do the most good are the ones who don't necessarily pay attention to all that. And, you know, the Prophet fought, I think, 18 holy battles. But that was, he was guided directly by Allah. Sheikh Noor said those were probably the last holy battles on earth, you know, because battles are not holy usually. So, how do we bring peace to the heart? This is bringing peace to the hearts. And, you know, after all, we don't have the capacity of the prophets or the great mothers. We have to see ourselves as humble servants. So if we're a humble servant, you know, what can we do? Is just trying to bring peace. Of course, struggle for the good. But struggle with the good for the good. So help, you know, and help in many, many, many ways we can help. With our tongue. Effendi wrote, he spoke that here in America. He said he could foresee these things. He foresaw potentially big problems coming, you know. He said, but I hope, he said, that we will use our tongues as the sword of truth rather than actual swords. You know, meaning all these battles that we see raging all over the world. So become eloquent for the truth. And to become eloquent, we have to first become silent. You know, and become listeners. We have to listen. That's the first step to true intelligence, is to listen. And this is why Rumi's great poem, the Masnavi, begins with listen. What a great teaching. Listen. So I would recommend that we just listen more. Let's listen in the depth and to the turmoil. Let's listen to the deeper voice within the turmoil. It's fear, it's frustration, it's, yes, it's anger, but maybe let's look at the reasons behind it all. So, yeah. And address those and pray. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah?
Is it a shura on Tuesday?
Yes. Ashura is Tuesday. By the way, Tuesday, and you're all invited, all of you here, on Tuesday evening, we're at sunset time. We'll have the prayer of Salat and share a meal of Ashura, which represents the meal that the last meal or the last meals that Prophet Noah and his community on the ark shared, because it said that by that time, the barrels of supplies had all gone down to the bottom. So they made their meals by just scraping up the bottom of the barrels and mixed everything together. So they didn't just have rice and beans. You know, they had rice and quinoa and all everything. All
and
then
pomegranate.
And pomegranate. Well, we added the pomegranate. The modern day ark. So we're going to share that beautiful, it's a beautiful symbolic meal of salvation. And joy coming from a day of such grief and sadness on the killing of Imam Hussein and the, it's, they're called 70. I think they were more than 70. 70 martyrs in the desert of Karbala, which all these 10 days. So even tonight, we're going to sing the Elahi to Hussein. And that night, after the sharing the Ashura meal, we will offer a zikr without the bendir. When the Prophet, peace be upon him, came into Medina, and the people of Medina who loved him, some didn't know him, but had just loved him spiritually already, and they said, you know, here we are, we're your servants, do with us as you will, what, we'll do anything, what do you want us to do? And he said, this is from Sheikh Bentounis reporting this hadith, this event, he said that they expected him to say, okay, well, let's join and we'll go back into Mecca and get the, you know, take over. He said, what you should do, he said, is to care for each other, to make fruitful your relationships, to feed the poor, to what else?
To spread peace.
First we're spreading peace. So, how beautiful. So this is what, you know. And that, you know, inshallah, each of us in our own way spreads peace. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. So I'll just open to here. This is a book, Sufi Path of Love, put together by William Jeddick many years ago. And that given by Sheikh Noor to a group of us. I think he gave, I don't know whether there were 20 of us or something, he gave this book to each with a special dedication. I'll read it. Fariha. And so he put everyone who received the book received this dedication. The same one. Is one of the spiritual leaders of the Masjid al-Faraq. Representing an intimate aspect of my own mind and heart, and bears responsibility with the other leaders for spiritual guidance and loving service of the Dervish community and its guests. No, mashallah, so special. Alhamdulillah. So see, the guests, he thought of you. This morning, so this is Mevlana. I'm just going to read a few passages. This morning, my meditation took me to a garden, neither outside of this world nor within it. I asked, O garden of wonders, what garden art thou? It answered, one that fears neither winter nor autumn. Wow. So that's also a little bit of an answer. Because the winter and autumn is not necessarily the, as we know, that climate. It's the spiritual climate. Because there's one of the sayings of the Prophet, it said that in the spring, you go with light clothing, like kind of, you know, bare yourself to the climate of spring. And he said, but in the autumn, this is to the coolness of spring, or the cold of spring. And spring can be quite chilly, as we know. And he said, but to the autumn coldness, cover up. So I'm sure that is also something physiological. But what it really means, according to the guides, is that with the people of love, bear yourself, make yourself open, be open. And to the people who are, you know, cold, just kind of emotionally cold, you cover up. So here is that kind of cold, that garden, but that garden does not fear that cold. I'll read it again. This morning, my meditation took me to a garden, neither outside of this world nor within it, which is interesting. So that's the Barzakh, you know, it's not a bridge. Like, neither outside of the world nor within it. It's, we can't even, I don't know if we can imagine that. It's something that's neither outside the world nor within it. That's an interesting contemplation of itself. But so there's a middle realm, you know, which we might call the realm of the spirit, which is not detached from the world. It's not, let's say, otherworldly. It's engaged in the world. It's within the world. It's what Jesus said, you know, be in the world but not of it. Is that, yeah, in that sense. And it has the divine energies of God's names, of God's attributes. And it participates in the drama of creation. So we are not people who separate themselves. But we are not of it. We do not exactly get embroiled in the world's drama that, you know, that it would upset our inner balance and faith. Okay, I'll read it one more time. This morning, my meditation took me to a garden, neither outside of this world nor within it. I asked, O garden of wonders, what garden art thou? It answered, one that fears neither winter nor autumn.
Shake his heart.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
How can we spread peace if we don't know what peace is?
Very true.
And how can we make peace applicable in our lives if we don't know what peace is?
That's very true.
That's what I'm bewildered about.
Are you really bewildered?
Oh yeah.
But for the one who seeks to spread peace, then, as we said, many masters have said it, become peace. That's the only way to spread peace, is to become peace. And this is the mystic paths, or the Sufi paths, or any paths of the heart, or of, you know, of truth, path of truth, is to understand who we are, and to see that, and to know yourself, and know God. That's what it says. We become peace by following a guide, by following a great guide. So we follow the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We follow the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. Our Mother Mary, peace be upon her. Or Moses, peace be. We have to follow a guide. Otherwise, we don't have the discernment to know that we're following the right thing. We find peace by following. Yeah. And the guide is shown to our heart. Because our heart is really the guide. Because this is where we say God is. God dwells in the heart. God says, I do not fit into all 18,000 universes, but I fit. I dwell within the heart of my loving servant. So, this is the guide. The human heart is the guide, but we have to clear that place of the heart, what Sheikh Noor called the corridors around the heart, where our emotional and psychic and distortions will block the peace and the light that are innate to the heart. The heart is innately at peace and guidance. Okay, so let's allow our hearts to be tuned. Tuned by Allah. Tuned by my love. Tuned by the one owning all the names and beyond all the names, and the one who dwells in our hearts as love, as light, as pure compassion, this all-embracing forgiveness, as longing, you say that we retreat into the cave of the heart, this mystic cave of light. Leads into infinity. So that when we hear the sirens in the streets, that compassion just spontaneously arises, and for the one or ones when the sirens are blowing. Compassion for ourselves, compassion for humanity, compassion for all the creatures on earth for having come into bodily form and take on the weight of this earth and earthly life. That we have compassion. So we have compassion for our enemies. Are the ones we perceive as our enemies. And that does not mean that we lay ourselves at their feet, not at all. We protect ourselves, or we ask for divine protection, protection from the great friends of Allah. And we are not disturbed by the sounds of laughter, or the people drinking and enjoying their evening. It does not disturb us. We see that rather as part of the praise, the creation, part of creation praising the source. For if Allah did not will it, there would not be those people there laughing and enjoying himself. So this is how Allah praises Allah. The creation is pure praise of the source. The source praising itself. The beloved gazing in the mirror